friends from Germany are coming to us next month. They live near Dresden, but they also live near this monument. In fact, it is a fortress, Königstein Fortress. It is a work of engineering amazement. It is the one fortress in Europe that was never captured, never conquered, including by Napoleon. And you can go there today, and they have a cutout of Napoleon, and you can stick your face in there and get a picture taken, because they still love to make fun of Napoleon because of what they did there. And that's what we're talking about when we're talking about Jerusalem. Jerusalem was a city that had never been conquered. They bragged about it to everybody, and they thought it was impossible for anybody to ever take this place. And 30-year-old General David took the city and surprised everybody. And he claimed it as a new capital for his people, Israel. What we're hearing today is, as they move into what is now the city of David, that he is returning the Ark of the Lord to that place. Listen for the word of the Lord as it comes to us from 2 Samuel chapter 6, selected verses. David again brought together all the able young men of Israel, 30,000. He and all his men went to Baalah in Judah to bring up from there the Ark of the Lord, which is called by the name of the Lord Almighty, who is enthroned between the cherubim on the Ark. They set the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it from the house of Abinadab, which is on the hill. Uzzah and Ahio, sons of Abinadab, were guiding the new cart with the Ark of God on it, and Ahio was walking in front of it. David and all Israel were celebrating with all their might before the Lord, with castanets, harps, lyres, timbrels, sistrums, and cymbals. Now King David was told, "The Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and everything that he has because of the Ark of God." So David went to bring the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. When those who were carrying the Ark of the Lord had taken six steps, they sacrificed a bull and a fatted calf. Wearing a linen ephod, David was dancing before the Lord with all his might, while he and all Israel were bringing up the Ark of the Lord with shouts and sounds of trumpets. And as the Ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from a window. And when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. They brought the Ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And David sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings before the Lord. And after he finished sacrificing the burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord Almighty. Then he gave a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, a cake of raisins to each person in the whole crowd of Israelites, both men and women. And all the people went to their homes. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Okay, let's be clear about the Ark of the Lord. It is not like it was portrayed in the original Indiana Jones movie. Well, yes, the Ark was made of fine wood. Yes, the Ark of the Covenant is a box. And yes, it is covered in shimmering gold. And yes, there are seraphim on each side. But there are no wispy figures who soar out when you open up the box and conquer your enemies. No, inside the box, there are what's left of the Ten Commandments, the tablets of stone written on by the finger of God, reminders of the covenant made between God and Moses and the whole people of God as they were set free, brought out of Egypt, out of slavery, and into a new land, into a new home. This Ark of the Covenant reminds them of who they are. They are a people loved by God, and God is faithful to them, and they are called to be faithful to God. A long time ago, the Israelites had used the box as used the Ark of God as an inspiration for their soldiers in battle. They would bring it to the battlefield, and the soldiers would see it and remember that God was on their side, and they would be strengthened in their resolve to win the day. But one day they bring the box out, they bring the ark to the battle line, and they lose. Because God won't be manipulated that way. God won't be used. And so the camp of Israel, they all flee away and they leave the Ark of the Covenant behind. And the Philistines, rejoicing, take the Ark into their own territory. But then something happens. Something happens and a plague strikes the Philistines. And so they say, we don't want this box because this looks like a plague to us. And so they gave it back to the Israelites. Well, the Israelites now, they realize that it's not a super weapon that can magically smite their enemies, so they're not interested in it. So they leave the Ark of the Covenant out in the country, in this little town, and they forget about it for decades. A fascinating thing happens. The town where the Ark was begins to flourish. It's not magic that it flourishes. It's that these people are reminded of the faithfulness to which they're called. They remember the commandments. They remember to live like people who do the things that the commandments say, and life becomes better as God blesses them when they live in that covenant life. When David comes to the throne, 30-year-old David, he not only conquers this fortress, but he decides it's time to bring the Ark of the Covenant back to the people. It's time to bring it to this new city of theirs. And so he musters the troops. I mean, any time you're going to muster 30,000 troops, it's supposed to be that you're getting them ready for battle, but not this time. This time they're remembering to bring the Ark back into the people's heart. And 30,000 people come. And they celebrate. They're dancing in the street because they're remembering who they are as the people of God. As they move it in, they move it in the parade. They stop it, the Bible says, every 6 feet and slaughter an ox. Why? What's going on there? Well, the deal went something like this. God, when you sacrificed an ox, God got the fat and the people got the meat. So that the people knew and remembered, oh, this is a God who blesses us. This is a God who cares for us. This is the beginning of a new day when we're going to live faithful to who we're supposed to be in the presence of God, and there's going to be flourishing. So the dancing gets even more dramatic. And David, recently proclaimed king, David, who now was the general who took this city, David, who was married to the daughter of the former king, David goes out into the streets and he starts to dance. He strips down, the Bible says, to his linen ephod. A great many Bible scholars agree this means he stripped down to his boxer shorts. I don't want to offend you here. If boxer shorts is too much, go ahead and think about him in yoga pants. Whatever it is, whatever you see him, Michal, she was so embarrassed. But David, you see, David's not born to the palace. David was born to a shepherd family, a family of no social standing whatsoever. And David was the youngest of 8 children. He's the bottom of the barrel. And yet somehow this God of faithfulness can raise up the lowest to become the highest. That's a celebration that God can raise up a whole people to become something they've never been before. David is ecstatic because now he can bring the Ark of the Covenant to the city. They can bring it to the heart of the religious and political center of this new place, this people revived. The Ark will remind them of who they are. It will help their country as God calls them to be a new kind of people. God proving that God is faithful and God is in the midst of this people, doing something new, lifting up the lowly, and changing the world. And that is worth celebrating. So David strips down with everybody else, and here in front of all of these 30,000 troops and all of the people who are watching what's going on, David's strutting around in his yoga pants, dancing before the Lord with all his might, a cheerleader for God, dancing in the streets, just what everybody wants to see, a writhing, leaping, dancing, sweaty king in yoga pants. But there they are, him and the 30,000 others, celebrating the presence of God. This is not what his wife expected. She's the daughter of the former king, Michal. She's born to the palace. To her, if you're going to dance, you dance like it's Downton Abbey. You walk around in a circle, and maybe if you touch, it's with your little finger, but you are very dignified and restrained. But not David. He's a shepherd boy, not born to the palace. David, like Garth Brooks, he's got friends in low places. He and his 30,000 friends dancing in the street, and they're doing the boot scootin' boogie and the Texas two-step. It's a long journey, so they got plenty of time, and he's got time to square dance with those who want to square dance. When somebody shouts, "Are you ready to polka?" David says, "Here I am, Lord, send me." When someone says, "Buenos dias," David starts to salsa. And when the beat changes, David starts to hip-hop. And when he encounters the local high school outcast, David's not afraid to do a little bump and grind. And then twist and shout. And finally, he jitterbugs and bunny hops all the way to the top of the mountain where they place the ark in the tent, the place of highest honor. What's going on? It's a liminal moment. The king is dancing with the commoners, and the commoners are dancing with the king, and everybody's dancing with everybody else, and all the people of Israel feel unified. They are all one in the dance, and they're one with God, who's leading them in this celebration, who's leading them into this new city with a new king, into a new day. God is faithful. It's a liminal moment, and the dance is a doorway as they enter into a new life and a new world and a new beginning. David helps the people to discover once again who they are, the covenant people of God. And they find God with his help. A new center, a new city, a new relationship with God. And it happens. And they love David always because David led them into this new day. And David's wife, Michal, she's in the palace looking down at all of them. Everybody else is outside, but not her. You notice that every time it mentions her, it doesn't say Michal, the wife of David. It says Michal, daughter of King Saul. She wanted to go back to Downton Abbey. She liked the old way of doing things. She wanted to turn back the hands of the clock. She never gets into the spirit of the new day. So the Bible says in a passage we didn't read today that she never had children. And this is not a biological statement. It's a theological statement. It means she had no future because she was stuck in the past, stuck in the way her daddy used to do things. But you see, her heavenly Father, God, is doing something new. David sees it and embraces it. David's so excited about God leading them, that when he dances, he gives it his all, everything he's got in the praise of God. And maybe, that's an image of hope for us about how life can be made new as we trust again in the promises of God. Willie Nelson was in Lincoln not long ago singing out at the Pinewood Bowl. Someone asked Willie where he got his songs. Willie said, "The air is full of melodies. You just have to reach out." I think that's right. But we as people of faith take it further. The world is full of melodies, stories, and possibilities for us. God has given them to us. We just, like David, need to reach out and claim them, to claim that new life and then to stand up and dance in the life, the new life that God gives to us. And when I think of David dancing, I'm just bombarded with images of great dance scenes like Gene Kelly singing in the rain or Ferris Bueller doing the twist and shout with the whole crowd in Chicago, or The Wizard of Oz with all of the characters dancing their way on a journey to discover a home again. Or maybe one of my favorite dance scenes is in Babe the Pig. If Babe isn't dignified enough for you, that's the point. Because David is not dignified at all. But in Babe the Pig, Babe has discovered his mortality, and he ends up dejected to the point of death. And Farmer Hoggett starts to sing, and then he stands up to dance. And it's the singing and dancing that pulls that little pig back to life. That's what God does for us. God pulls us back to life. God pulls us back to life to come to discover once again the trust that we have to God, the possibilities that God gives to us, the presence that is with us always. Jesus said to his disciples that their job was to raise the dead, and I think that's true. Our job is to raise the dead. You can see hints of that in what David is doing, bringing a people who were down and dejected and despised back to life to discover a new beginning for them. And so we have been given the possibilities before us to bring that life of Christ to the world around us, to every deathly life situation, to the threat of disease, to the reality of aging, to the deterioration of relationships, to losing a job. No matter what, God is faithful. God is faithful and surrounds us with God's love and gives us possibilities for hope. So all we need to do is say thank you to God and to take one another by the hand, and take the world by the hand and dance in joy, not just this day, but every day as we discover once again the overarching, never-ending love of the one who has created us all and who loves us all. Amen.